Hey everyone, hope it's shaping up to be a terrific Tuesday. Let's make this Teacher Time Tuesday, shall we? Shout out to all the educators out there uplifting, informing, and inspiring students. Go on and dap up your teach. Give a handshake or a high five. Let them know you appreciate all they do. All right, lots to get to today, but only 10 minutes to do it, so let's get to it. I'm Coy Wire, this is CNN 10, and we start with the end of Title 42. Last week, we told you about the looming expiration of Title 42, the policy set by the Trump administration at the start of the COVID pandemic, allowing migrants to be quickly expelled at the U.S. southern border without a chance to ask for asylum. The policy expired last Thursday night, along with the national coronavirus public health emergency. With this expiration, there were major concerns about a massive surge of migrants at the border, but according to Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, the number of migrants at the U.S. southern border is, quote, markedly down over what they were prior to the end of Title 42. Now, even though the number of people coming in may be lower than what federal officials were bracing for, communities at the southern border, well, they're still on high alert. Ed Lavandera has more.
After Title 42 ended late Thursday night, some migrants discovered they didn't make it in time. This father and son from Venezuela were turned away, but he says the goal is to get to the other side, to find a way to reach the United States, but we'll have to wait and figure it out.
We've been very, very clear that there are lawful, safe, and orderly pathways to seek relief in the United States, and if one arrives at our southern border, when it's going to face tougher consequences.
In the days leading up to last night's deadline, border officials saw a surge of migrants. More than 23,000 are now in CBP custody, down slightly from earlier this week. But the end of Title 42 did not trigger the historic wave of migrants rushing to cross the border Friday that was predicted. In El Paso, thousands were waiting to be processed outside a border gate.
We're prioritizing those most vulnerable populations. We're doing this as quickly and as efficiently and as safely as we possibly can.
That number now down to a couple hundred, says the city's mayor.
After yesterday's spike at about 1,800 that came in yesterday, we've not seen any additional big numbers come in through the El Paso sector.
We had lean-tos or tents, whatever term you want to use, literally all along the wall.
John Martin runs a network of shelters in El Paso and said the crowds have dramatically dwindled in recent days.
As of about 11 o'clock this morning, we had no new arrivals.
While he was surprised at the lack of influx the morning after Title 42 lifted, he doesn't expect it will stay this way.
I have to admit it's nice to be able to breathe one more time, but we can't let our guard down because we still know it's coming.
In January, U.S. Customs and Border Protection opened this massive tent processing facility in the El Paso area, about 20 miles from the U.S.-Mexico border. It's designed to be able to hold about 1,000 migrants at a time. And as you can see, construction crews are working to expand. And we're told by CBP officials in June they'll have room for another 1,000 migrants to hold at this facility. In Brownsville, dozens of buses line up near an intake facility, but a major humanitarian group in the area tells CNN they only had one bus of migrants arrive today. About 155,000 migrants were estimated to be in shelters and on streets in Mexico waiting to enter the U.S., a source familiar with federal estimates said. Migrants will still risk their lives to make it to the U.S., and from now on, people who cross the border illegally will face a tougher path to requesting asylum. Many will be deported, like this group, who were shackled and led onto a repatriation flight, like this one, leaving for Guatemala on Thursday. In the days leading up to the end of Title 42, this alleyway behind a migrant shelter in El Paso was packed with migrants sleeping outside. All of that has changed, and what several migrant advocates tell us is that for now, they think that migrants on the Mexican side of the border are reassessing the border landscape, trying to figure out when the next best opportunity might be to cross into the U.S. Ed Lavandera, CNN, El Paso, Texas.
Today we are going to spotlight an inspiring young woman named Yasmin Arrington, who knows firsthand the challenges of growing up while having a parent who's incarcerated. Gaining strength through her struggles, Yasmin started a nonprofit group called Scholar Chips CHIPS is an acronym standing for Children of Incarcerated Parents. The organization provides scholarships, mentoring, and a network of support. Meet our CNN hero, Yasmin Arrington.
My father has been in and out of jail and prison, my personal level, emotionally, mentally. Many young people who have incarcerated parents definitely feel stigmatized and marginalized.
Are you looking at me? What are you looking at?
Probably. Oh, some cookies. I was 13 years old when my mother passed away. I was raised by my maternal grandmother, and my grandmother is a big advocate of education. She knew that college was coming down the pike for me, but, you know, there was no college fund. My grandmother began researching various scholarships online that I would be eligible for. She said, "I don't see any for young people like yourself who have incarcerated parents." And I kept that in my mind. When I was a junior, I went through a social entrepreneurship program for teenagers, and we had to come up with a social venture. So I pitched Scholar CHIPS, and the CHIPS, of course, is an imperfect acronym for Children of Incarcerated Parents. And the judges, they loved the idea. And so here I was, 16 years old, with a $1,000 seed grant. I wasn't even old enough to have a bank account. Scholar CHIPS is a nonprofit organization that provides college scholarships, mentoring, mental health supports, and a robust support network to college-bound young adults who have incarcerated parents. The main objective is to help directly address the financial gap and challenges that many of our scholars face. Our scholars are provided with brand new laptops. We also have an emergency fund, and so when scholars have unexpected challenges that come up, we definitely step in to help. Hi!
Hello there, how we doing?
Our scholars have the option to opt in to being matched with a mentor who wants to be a cheerleader and a champion.
I mean, let's remember this journey, right? Just lean into it and let it just wash over you. This is really good stuff.
They have someone who has already been through college and the process that they're currently going through. Tiana, hi! I do personally check in with our scholars.
Get ready for graduation.
Yeah, I know, congratulations, I'm so excited! The check-ins are very helpful because oftentimes we will discover a need that a scholar has that we otherwise didn't know.
A judgy traffic light that only lets you pass if you're driving, right? Well, that's today's story, getting a 10 out of 10. This traffic light is watching you, monitoring your speed as you're passing through. If you're under the limit, ding, 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 good job. Keep going. You can get your green. But you'll feel the shame if you drive too fast. Red light, you shall not pass. This is all part of an experiment in Canada in a suburb of Montreal. The light is also gathering information regarding traffic flow and driver behavior, and then relays this information to the city for analysis, in addition to making people ponder poor life choices by forcing them to slow down and stop at a red light. Now that's breaking news. Today's special shout out is going to Piedmont, South Carolina. Wren Middle School, you rock. Thank you for everyone who's subscribed and have been commenting on our CNN 10 YouTube channel. Much love, right back at you. Making it an awesome day, everybody. I'll see you tomorrow. I'm Coy Wire, and we are CNN 10.